Hi, this is Ariel Faulkner, and in this recording you'll hear excerpts from the award-winning short story, My Cousin Nurse Mindy, Who Saw the Feet of Elvis One Day.
Y'all know I wear white every day, and I won't stand for anything less than extra, extraordinary. My cousin Mindy always stroked her consonants with a big, lazy, sullen tongue. She snapped on some gloves and took a syringe from my hands, which could only do one thing at a time. My cousin Mindy could punch needles into veins, plan her wedding dress, and flirt over her shoulder at doctors in mighty clean coats without batting an eye. But me? I could only do one thing at a time. She was always making me nervous the way she talked with those hands, blood and urine vials waving all around, but she never dropped a thing. It was a good thing too, cause when Mindy bent over, it caused gurney collisions in the halls. Her skirt was mini and her legs for days were built for social elevation, my mama used to say. No one understood how a man like my uncle, Elmer Sager, ever fathered such a looker. Elmer buried three wives and told the fourth she had cows, not calves. She lives with a plumber over in Collierville now who apparently likes a woman with a sturdy foundation. Women were always finding ways of leaving my uncle Elmer, but he only ever had eyes for one anyway. My mama's sister was his first wife, and she was good, so she popped out four brawny boys in overalls and 5 o'clock shadows. Then came Mindy, in blonde banana curls, and that's when mama said Uncle Elmer learned some love. Mindy could do no wrong, and he said she was born to be the prettiest gal on the West Bank. We grew up on the family farm that suckled against the Mississippi, just a few miles down from the city. I sprung up scrawny with awkward elbows, but my cousin Mindy bloomed fresh and creamy with straight teeth. Perched up a pecan tree and flirting with the swing of her lace-socked ankles, she could turn the daisies' faces towards her radiance. The night she turned 15, Mindy decided that she was old enough to walk the river, and that I had to go with her. Papa Dave said the old man swallowed children if they got too close, but Mindy said 15 was plenty old, and besides, she had hips now. We took the mule track past the rows of cotton getting ready to burst. A forever later, we jumped the creek and made our way to the riverbed. The Mississippi licked our ankles as we waded in the silt. Mindy's tongue was off the hinge as usual, until she saw the wooden post that marked the end of our farm.
"Come on, Luann, keep up,"
she hollered back at me, and ran up the bank. We found ourselves surrounded by pockets in the ground, beds of soggy leaves.
"Luann, do you know what this is?"
Mindy's voice was low, nothing like her chatter.
"It's a cemetery, Mindy. You know these ain't supposed to be here? Why not?"
Despite the heat of the muggy air, there was something cold to the place. Something old and musty that smelled like iron on my skin.
"'Cause slaves were supposed to be pitched into the river.
Well, why are they here then?"
"So they could rest. But the old man got him anyway."
The unmarked graves used to be mounded up with a body tucked in, but the Mississippi moving beneath ate them away and left valleys in the moist earth. Mindy walked round and round the hollowed spaces, but I was too scared of stepping on someone's soul. She stopped in front of one so small you'd barely notice. Neither of us said it, but we knew it was a child. A baby slave that died on the land we called home. The face lit by the moon bouncing off the river was not the face of my cousin. For the first time, I saw the Mindy that flowed underneath and ate away at something lying dead inside her skin.
For more, please visit www.arielfaulkner.com.